are now listening to the Serious Growth Podcast with your host, Leo Costa Jr.
Welcome to Serious Growth Podcast, where the truth is told. On today's show, we have a gentleman named Lee Liston. Hey, thanks for coming on, Lee. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited.
Beautiful. I really like your story. I see here that you're an actor, which intrigued me already because I did some small stuff way back in the day. Fitness enthusiast, singer, and songwriter. I find those to be very interesting areas that you want to get into. So let me ask you this. How is it that you want to be all these things? What's the launching pad for you? Tell me all about you.
The big launching pad for me is being able to be a representative for little people. Okay. Because I feel like little people have representation. Like you look at Peter Dinklage, who's a phenomenal actor, Game of Thrones, and among other things. And you have Warwick Davis, who was in Willow. And you have Billy Barty, who was also in Willow, who started Little People of America. So everything that I do, like music and acting, and obviously it's you know, first and foremost storytelling, but what I love to do is move into being a representative to show what little people are just as normal and, you know, average as everybody else, even though I'm in an extraordinary platform.
Yeah, I can tell right off the bat, just in the first 30 seconds, that you're very passionate about what you're doing. I mean, that's obvious, and that's a big difference in, you know, for mine now. You know, I'm older, quite a bit older than you. And one of the things that stands out to me always is somebody who has passion for what they do. And it's obvious that you know, that's where you're at. So what got you into weight training or got you into the gym?
Originally, I was just, you know, sitting on Instagram, and I'm a fan of Dwayne The Rock Johnson. And I saw that he had a show that he was promoting called The Titan Games. And it was really ominous at the time. Nobody knew what it was or what it was. Just, it was The Rock. So everybody wanted to be a part of it. And I kind of got that hype. So I watched it, and there was a training regimen that they wanted you to do for the audition. So I went hard and I trained for 8 months, and I started eating really clean and really healthy and training every day, 2 times a day. And I was just so gung ho. And so over time, it exploded into other things in which I could talk about, but ultimately it's just become a lifestyle of different things and factors.
So how did you learn how to train and eat and all that?
Well, as far as eating, and which is one of the most core things of it all, I had a roommate named Adam Knutson, and he taught me how to count macros. He taught me how to weigh foods. He taught me about proteins, fats, and carbs. He taught me how to read labels. And I started, you know, integrating that and using my Fitness Pal into my everyday life. And I started to learn about caloric maintenance range, which led to learning how to get the body where I wanted, to get the physique I wanted. So it's almost like, you know, you hit a domino and it starts to go, you know, and all those things follow suit.
Yeah. And the thing that you're hitting on, which is, I've been in the industry, the health and fitness industry and personal training, but I started as a bodybuilder. But the one thing that I learned right off the bat was it's about calories in, calories out. It's caloric intake. And a lot of people just don't understand that. And then on top of that, the industry misleads people. For example, they tell you, oh, you know, just, they make you stupid for one thing. You know, we're going to do it all for you. I understand that people like convenience. I'm not saying that either, but it also makes the person at the, you know, you're now at their mercy because they really haven't taught you anything. And you learned it in a way that you were teaching yourself the exact way. And, you know, when you start doing things like that, obviously, to the nth degree, I have a what I call a serious growth creed. And there are 6 components in that creed. And it's for training, but it also transcends into life. But one of the things is being a student of the game. And what you did is you automatically, your friend turned you on in the right way, because what it made you as a student of the game to really understand the macros and the caloric intake, because that way you can make exact adjustments to get a response that you want. Is that true or not?
Yeah, no, exactly. And it's like, what I love that you're saying, it's authenticity, because I feel like the fitness knows something and it pitches it in a way that they need a trainer, they need the person, and it's not about enabling, you know, it's, yep. You know, you know about the fitness industry. I could go on and on. And so it's just crazy. I love the way that I got to learn was self-empowering and self-enabling, yep. and not at the mercy, like you're saying, of someone else.
Yeah. And one of the things, and like even at my facility, I've had personal training studios for 38 years now. But one of the things I've always stated was, I don't want to make those people have to rely on me. If they do, if they keep coming back, and I have clients that have been with me for over 20 years, and that's great. But I want to teach them to be successful beyond me. That's how I think my mark as far as being a good program, it really is. And yet, you know, these quick fix programs, they're designed to fail because they have no infrastructure, because they're not really teaching people anything. You know, if you take a look at the stats, people buy those programs until they lose the weight, and then 8 months down the road, they're in worse shape than when they started, you know? So you are doing it exactly how you should. Now, when it came to the training part of it, was it the same way? How did you get references, or where did you start? Did you have a friend help you with that too?
Yeah, so this same friend helped me work out. You know, he took me to the gym and started teaching me about working out. And obviously over time, I didn't get on the Titan Games, but the reason I say that is I went to FitCon and I met these bodybuilders like Calum von Moger. Later, I met Steve Cook, you know, and worked with Gymshark on a video and did these things and started like getting this exposure, you know, not only for myself, but exposure to the industry. You know, you start meeting these people. So the fun part about working out for me was the creative aspect. When I said earlier, you know, making it accessible for little people, because something is an example, and it took me about a year to figure this out. So when I go to the gym and I do the bench press, one thing, when I get on the bench press, my legs don't touch the ground, right? Like they're dangling. Yeah. So and at first I was like, okay, well, this is just how it is. This is just what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
But then I, over time, I had this like eureka moment, and I was looking at a squat rack. And what I did is the rungs go all the way down to the squat rack. I got a little step and then put the step as the bench so my feet can hit the ground. And then I was able to do the bench all by myself. So it's just been this crazy awesome journey of being able to make the gym accessible and work and not really have an excuse to get, you know, not get the most out of it.
I really think that's huge. And you know, I've talked about this before, is that the motivation has to be greater than the obstacle. You know, the gym, the bench, the way it was the obstacle, but you had a higher motivation. And I personally think that that's a key, as a life lesson that you learn, because guess what? Life is going to test you all the time and in different ways. It's a series of tests all the way through, you know. Albert Einstein once said it best. He said, you know, the real knowledge is through experience, you know. And I look back at when I started and look now, and I just see things are just relative and that are actually necessary. You know, it doesn't matter that you're much younger than I am. Those are life lessons and principles that you need to implement throughout your life. And I'm assuming you're pretty young. How old are you?
I'm 27.
Yeah, you're pretty young. And you're already learning all this kind of stuff, you know? And I would think that because of you being a little person, you've had to just, I mean, you're getting these, you have to figure it out like right now, you know? Let me ask you this though, when you're doing the bench, wouldn't it work for you like if you just put your feet on top of the bench itself? Or does that not work?
Well, I mean, essentially, like, I mean, it kind of could, but I kind of like to be able to, like it almost be compensating, but I like to be able to drive with my legs.
Oh yeah.
And so like, it's almost like I'm getting, because it's the same idea as why are average size people doing that? It's because you're driving, you know, getting that power through your legs, and that's the purpose of it. So.
Right. Yeah. No, that makes sense. So when you first, how many years ago did you get into the gym?
About 2 years ago.
Okay, so you're pretty new at it. I think I read on social media somewhere that the part of the reason that you got into the gym is because it made you feel more equal. Is that, did I get that right?
Yeah. No, I haven't thought about that for a while. Because a huge thing for me. So if you and I were to go to Walmart or Target or the mall or whatever, I get stared at all the time, you know, because of my dwarfism. It's very unique and it stands out and it's weird. It's normal enough to maintain a normal life, but it's weird enough that people, you know, pay attention when I walk in the room,
right?
Whether I want it or not.
And right.
That almost sounds egotistical, but
I get you. Yeah.
Yeah. So if we go to a mall, like I get attention, but the thing is when I started going to the gym, I started getting the same respect that anybody else has. I was getting buff, and because of my genetics and things, I gained muscle a little bit faster and so I was getting attention. And so I just felt like everybody else, I could relate. I could talk about things. It wasn't, my dwarfism wasn't a factor. Like it was, you know, it was just, it was a liberating thing, and I wasn't being stared at in a negative way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. The gym does that. You know, when you get inside of a gym environment, I mean, I'm still a member at Gold's Gym in Venice, California. And no, that's what's one of the things I really like about being in the gym is that it's like my home. It's my second home. Yeah. And you know, over the years, the inside of that is there's a lot of camaraderie there, and you're right. It's just something that all the people that are in there, we all have in common to some degree. So it's a different kind of vibe. That's pretty cool. Now, as far as I even noticed that, like when I read some of your stuff on social media, you actually had this thing down to how many calories you actually ate. Now, did you do you did a competition, right? Or did you get ready for a competition?
Yeah. So it was kind of a rock and hard place because I'm a perfectionist. Like if I'm going to do something, I want to do it perfect. And yeah. And to get the best result, I don't want to just do it for the sake of it, which begs the question, like, okay, what are you accomplishing? Because, you know, I was going to do one, but I couldn't afford a nutritionist and a posing coach.
Yeah.
So I got the most out of fitness and I developed all the learning, but I was like, I only want to compete if I can get a posing coach and if I can get a nutritionist, because ultimately, yeah, I could do it myself, but you're not going to see your body in poses the same way a coach is going to see it. So it wasn't the right time. And I don't feel like I lost anything by not doing that, but I feel like I still gained a lot out of the whole experience.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, you know, I learned this thing from the ground up, kind of like you. I was lucky that I met people along the way. I had a mentor of mine in the beginning, who's my business partner to this day. And he helped me because he competed once, but there was someone I could refer to, you know, and of course, as you go along, but you know something, Lee, there's a reason why in the sport of bodybuilding that it takes so damn long to get up on stage to where you look right, you know, balanced and all that, because you're right, man. It's like, I didn't know a couple things about myself. I don't know about you. I didn't know I was a creative person. I've been an athlete all my life, ever since I was 8 years old. Played traditional type sports, but bodybuilding entered my life at the age of 25. And I didn't realize that I was creative until I got into the sport of bodybuilding, because it's a creative act, as you know. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you're right, man. There's so much to it that doesn't meet the eye. I mean, that's not unusual in a lot of other industries. And I can share a story with you in acting, but there's more to it than meets the eye. And you're absolutely right. You know, I was lucky that I had somebody to get me going, but all the hours in between, you know, I mean, you compete in that one show and you've got like a whole off season to correct the you know, your shortcomings, because you're always trying to improve that. Well, yeah, it takes a long time to be perfect on stage. And truth of the matter is, none of those guys, not even at the Olympia level, not even Arnold Schwarzenegger, and those guys that won all these Olympias are perfect. They look perfect, but I promise you, they still have flaws. What they've learned how to do through learning how to pose is they learn how to minimize their weaknesses, if you will, which makes them look perfect. You know, so I don't know if that makes any difference to you as far as if and when you do compete, but know that we all have flaws, and we do, even at the end of our career, but we just get better at knowing how to show ourselves, if you will, you know. So So where are you going with, you know, when I was training, I trained a guy by the name of Kevin Costner. I don't know if you know who he is.
Oh, yeah, I know
Kevin Costner. Some people don't, believe it or not. Some people don't. I know. Anyway, so one of the things that he told me, because this is with regard to you now being in the industry as far as wanting to act and things like that. When I went down there to train Kevin, and we had some prior history in that he came to my, we were at the same high school together when we were 18 years old, and he left. And then he reappeared in The Untouchables, and that's when I reconnected with him. So when I went down there to, because I told him I was, I had just written a training course, and I wanted him to endorse my book if he thought it was any good. I just asked him flat out what I wanted. Mm-hmm. And he said, oh, you know what? It just happens I'm getting ready to work on Dances with Wolves. I'm sure you heard of that.
If
you heard
of course, yeah.
So I went down there. One of the first things that he told me was he said, Leo, you have to understand something. I cannot change. I have a certain look that I'm known for on camera. And, you know, if you put on a few pounds on me, it changes my look. Now, are you kind of aware of this, like, as you're going along? And, I mean, I don't know if you figured out, like, where exactly where you want to go. But Kevin already knew at that point. I mean, he was adamant. He said, if you're going to mess with that, you can't work with me because that screws things up. I never even thought about that. So what about – how does that relate to you?
Wow, that kind of hits me in the feels, because one of the things I think about is, you know, I've talked about it like 12 times, but with Dwayne The Rock Johnson, for instance, he's, you know, lifting, he's got his iron, you know, paradise gyms that he has, his traveling gyms, and he's kind of made it his brand that he, you know, he's the workout actor, you know, so he's like embraced that. And so for me, like, is my I had a friend named Mason Davis one time, and we were going to do a film. Like, he wanted to do it, and he's done like a lot of films. He's, you know, SAG and stuff like that, and he wanted to do a film together. And one of the things he asked me, he goes, Lee, are you okay with losing muscle? Like, would you be okay like losing muscle? And like, it almost made me twinge, because everything we've talked about for the past like 20 or so minutes has been around fitness and lifting. And given I've only done it for 2 years, like, I can't imagine taking that out in, you know, of my life. And so for me, as hard as it is, it's like, no, I want to embrace that. I want to be, you know, authentic in my journey, and talk about how lifting correlates with acting and how it kind of all intermeshes, because I just feel like, ultimately, my goal isn't just being a branded actor, but it's being a representative with my talents for little people, you know, and inspiring them and uplifting them.
I like that. And one thing that I can maybe share with you and relate to you is that in the sport of bodybuilding, we have to, you know, you have these different judges at these competitions. And you get to a point when you've been around long enough, you start knowing the judges that are going to be at these competitions. Mm. And you start learning what they're actually looking for. You know, it just, again, there's always more than meets the eye, right? But here's the thing that we had to be willing to do, and it's very uncomfortable. And it's going to what you're talking about. There were certain competitions that I was in where I actually had to lose muscle, more muscle than I wanted to have a certain look for the judges that were going to be there. And, you know, and I get what you're saying, because I think, like, with Dwayne Johnson being the example, you don't see many guys that can actually, this guy, I think he's a lucky guy myself. He gets to train and look like he does. And he's not pigeonholed necessarily in the gigs that he gets. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, so, I mean, I think that's been a really tricky thing that he's done, and good for him. You know, and it sounds like that's, you know, you want to do it for not only that reason, but I think maybe, I guess what I'm saying is that you might have to be comfortable enough and say, okay, I may have to create a certain look, or maybe you take the stand and say, no, this is who I am, like it or not, and there you go. You know, I think at some point, I don't know if you'll have to make that that choice. What do you think?
Well, I don't know. It's a funny thing. It's kind of like, you know, when you're hanging out with a friend and, you know, and, you know, it's a pretty girl and you're like, man, I'm going to go talk to her. This is what I'm going to say. And you work it out in your head and,
yeah.
and you're like talking it up and you rehearse it or, you know, or you feel confident, maybe you're arrogant and you feel good. And then you go up to execute thinking it's going to play out a certain way because you're so good or suave or whatever you think you are. And you go up and then all of a sudden, like it fails or debunks or doesn't go that way or you kind of shrivel up or you say the wrong thing or you totally lose it. I think that's the kind of thing I'm scared of is, of course, like just talking, you know, in a public setting, I can be like, oh yeah, of course that's what I would say. But behind a closed door, like in, you know, a Marvel executive office, they're like, we're not going to give you this movie if you don't do this.
Right.
But like, it's like that, that's what I get scared of. Would I have the grit, you know, to be able to be like, well, I don't care. Or would I be like, okay, yeah, I'll do what you want.
Right.
You know, so that's what I think about is the big moments, you know, of that.
Yeah. And that's reality. And maybe I can, again, I like to relate with what you're saying in a different area. It's kind of like with me when I first got into the my gyms are all personal training. I used to have a bunch of them. I just have one now. But it's always been personal training. It's always been very specific to the individual. But when I first started my business, Lee, I took everybody that I could because I wanted to launch my business. And, you know, at that point, it would be the difference in the beginning of me saying, look, I'm just going to take everybody versus I'm just going to take athletes or professional athletes. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I would have made it if I just would have had that mindset. I'm just going to do professional athletes and no one else. However, as I stayed in the game and I developed a foundation and I had some cash flow makes you happy, man. I'm sure you know that. It's happiness. Yeah. It's happiness. Mm-hmm. Well, right. when I started getting to that point, then I could be more selective, but I don't know, you know, how much room that you have in your industry, you know, to take that approach. In other words, like what you're saying, is it like, okay, I'll take whatever I can, but then, yeah, I'm assuming then you have to be worried about getting pigeonholed as a, just a, like a certain type of actor, right?
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. Yeah. And once again, it's like, because what you're talking about, you know, you're kind of slowly isolating my dilemma, you know, if you will, of, you know, my dwarfism, because I don't want to get all the dwarfism caricature roles.
Right.
I don't want to get all the bodybuilder, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, action movie roles.
Right.
And I don't want to get, you know, or maybe based on how I act in one movie, my personality comes off. They're like, kind of like, you know, let's say Robert Downey Jr., you know, like now, you know, he's in Doolittle now,
yeah.
You know, and that movie's doing awful. And that dude just did an 11-year franchise of the biggest, you know, did Avengers Endgame and like the biggest movie of like all time right now, you know, financially. And now like Doolittle's doing awful. And so it's just nobody's safe, you know, from,
that's right.
You know, it's like The Rock's not safe. Like they're not safe. So you kind of have to constantly be on your toes and be humble. And I think if you stay humble enough to know that you're not safe, even though that's scary, it'll keep you adaptable and flexible.
Yeah.
To what it is. I don't know if I'm dancing around the question, but I definitely, just to answer directly, yes, I do have quite the challenge to make a name for myself in the way that I want to.
Yeah. And you know, something that we talked about that at the top of the show, it's like life is always going to test you. And this is one of the key examples is right here. And at some point, I believe in your career, you're going to have to make that tough call and say, yeah, I'm not going to do that. Because I just don't, you know, I stand for something bigger and it may or may not work out for you, but guess what? That's just the way it is. That's life. You know, it's not always a rosy little trot to the top. There's a lot of pitfalls and I'm sure I don't know where you are as far as like how many auditions have you gone on, for example?
That's like how many auditions? Well, I've probably gone, you know, like, I've never been asked that before. So I'm like thinking,
I'm glad
like,
I'm the first.
No, you really are the first. I'm like thinking, I don't know, hundreds, like, or maybe over 100. I don't know. Like I have, that's almost a humbling question because I'm going to be honest. Like I haven't gone on as many auditions as I want to have said that, you know, that I should be, because I get so excited about whatever I'm out, and yeah. I should be going to audition after audition after audition, but then I'm like, oh, I found fitness, and I got all yeah. excited about that, and so I need to kind of move back into, you're asking a very direct question, I need to get back into auditioning to build, you know, to get my name circulating back right. in the industry again.
You know, one of the things I learned in training, and again, I'm playing to what you're saying, I think, in my own little crazy way, is that multitasking, you know, as humans, we can multitask. It's part of our DNA, and it's in our, you know, in our fight or flight nervous system, because that's the way that your body learns how to tolerate environments. So it does a good job multitasking, but it doesn't do a great job multitasking, because it does a better job when you focus on one thing. And it's tricky, because, you know, you don't want to just focus on one thing. But I think the way that I've overcome that, I have a tendency of being like you. I get crazy because I'm very passionate about what I do, to the point where I make myself ill over it. You know, I get so wound up, it's hard to calm down. So I get what you're saying. But one of the things that I learned with me to help me is to, because my mentality and my mindset can be harmful to me, Lee, because I overtrain. Like, for example, in the gym, I have this mindset where nothing's going to stop me ever. But if you don't channel that in a certain way, it can hurt you. And one of the things that I learned over the years is to compartmentalize the things that I do. In other words, I'm going to focus on this and give it its due, but then I got to walk away from that a little bit so I can focus on this. Because if I do both of those things, guess what? I'm going to compromise both of those things. It's tricky. It always is, you know? Mm-hmm. And you got to, I think you're smart in that you're at least becoming, or you're aware of the fact and say, wait a minute. Okay, I got to I keep asking the questions over the years. Now I'm 38 years in the industry. I keep asking myself, how am I beneficial to the health and fitness industry now after all these years? Because I started as a bodybuilder, personal trainer, and I've written courses, and I've become somebody who now who has all this information because I put my time in. And I'm not useful in the industry, as far as I'm concerned, of getting out there and getting in the gym and posing and, you know, showing people how I'm working out. I'm not. I don't feel like that's where I fit in now. But it was a tricky question. It's like I didn't really know until I thought, wait a minute. The thing that I think I have that's valuable is the fact that I have been around for so long, and I know what I'm talking about, and I can pass that information forward. But the reason why I was asking you about auditions is because I flashed on a after I trained Kevin. He called me one day, and he said, "Hey, you want to audition for the what was the movie he did with what's the name of the movie? Can't think of it right now. With Whitney Houston.
I can look it up.
I don't know why I forget this stuff. I mean, anyway, the point is this. I did it was the movie that she did with Kevin Costner.
Okay.
And he asked me if I wanted to audition for a part. I said, yeah, I want to be a movie star. You know, it sounded really luxurious and fun.
The Bodyguard.
I auditioned for that crazy movie.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So Kevin, I do. So anyway, their production company sent me my lines, Lee. Hey, it was only like 20 words. It wasn't very much. I'm thinking, oh man, this is a snap. Mm-hmm. So I live 200 miles away from the, from LA. So I'm practicing my lines all the way down there, blah, blah, blah. I got this thing. This is no big deal. This is easy. It's kind of like, it reminds me of people that when they see me or in the gym, you know, they go, oh, what's so hard about all this weight training that you're doing, right? Mm-hmm. So I went in and I go in there to do my audition. They said, you ready? Got your lines? Yes. Okay. Producer or whoever comes in, ready, action. I choked so badly. I said, wait a minute. I said, let me do this again. A do-over. I choked just as bad on the do-over as I did in the on the first one. And I learned right there. I said, you know what? Those guys that are on screen that makes this stuff look easy, as far as I'm concerned, and that is, again, more than meets the eye. Would you say that? I mean, when you did your first audition, did it go like smooth as silk, or was it bad?
Well, sure.
Well, I remember I was with this talent agency at the time, and it was the first agency that I was with. And I you kind of get gung-ho because I just want to, you know, interject real quick if I can. And talking to you, I feel like I'm talking to an old friend that I've, like, known for a long time. Because I feel like I just want to learn, like, our energy. Like, I think what's so relate that you and I can just sit there and talk back and forth is our energy is just you know, like, palpable and awesome. But going back to it, I was with this agency and I was really excited because a friend had got me into acting and told me I would be a great actor, and I've been told by other people. So I'm in here, and it's this audition for Tyler Perry's movies. You know, like all of Tyler Perry's movies. And that sounds super random, but I was like, at the time, you know, it's a name I was familiar with. And I was like, okay, I'm going to audition. I'm going to get it. So there was a scene from like Star Trek and he directed the first one, I believe, or he was involved with it. And regardless, I went and did these lines and like, I memorized this scene from it because I'm not someone of color. So I was like, okay, this is the one I can kind of relate and, you know, interject myself in a realistic way. And so I went in and did that line and I did the audition, and I just, it was awful. Like, it was embarrassing. And then it just didn't go anywhere. And I was like, wow, ego, got to watch that, you know, because when you have a super animated energy and you feel like you can do anything, that's awesome. But you also want to keep your feet on the ground, so you're realistic with what's going on. And kind of going with what you're saying is, what I imagine is when you got off that audition, you go home and watch a film, or you go home and watch a Kevin Costner film, you all of a sudden appreciate what they're doing 10 times more because you just went through the ringer of you know, butchering it, if you will.
Yeah. No, when I left that audition, let me be clear. When I left that audition, my tail was between my legs. Mm-hmm. Lee, because I'm thinking, you know, I would say, like, I have all this energy. I have 10 or 20 words that I'm going to say. And then I got so kiboshed, I choked up. I have to tell you something. That damn audition, it affected me when I started shooting videos for our training courses. I swear to you. I mean, I'd never forget that first time that we did that first video. I had to do 32 takes just to get a little piece out there because my energy wasn't right. I didn't say that word to the where everybody can understand it. I slurred it a little bit. I mean, there's so many things that I'm thinking, oh man, this thing ruined me forever, you know. But I will say this, I've gotten a hell of a lot better. I mean, and you know, it's like one of the in the serious growth creed, one of the principles is repetition is the mother of skill. And it's the same way when you go into the gym. The reason why you can put on muscle is because of repetition being the mother of skill. You're in there doing it over and over again. Your body responds to that. Well, it's no different as far as I'm concerned. I thought, okay, here's how I'm going to get over this crazy stuff. You know, every time I get in front of a camera now, I flash back to the bodyguard and when I choked. I mean, it hit me pretty hard.
Right.
And I thought, the only way I can get over this is kind of like the way that I got over the fear of flying. I just put myself on airplanes. I could started flying until I got over it, you know, and I just started doing that in front of a camera. I'm pretty comfortable now in front of a camera. I do Instagram posts, but through that repetition, it's made that thing easier to do. But man, yeah, you're right. When I walked away from that thing, I thought, oh, hell no, these guys they're good. You know, to be able to, how about like when they're doing a love scene, you know, stuff like that. I mean, you know, it's not a legit love scene, I don't think. And they're making it look like one, for example. I mean, that's a real pro as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. And there's just so many factors that go into it. And sometimes it's kind of a weird balance because you don't want to go into a situation like that thinking like, you know, after that going, well, now I'll never be able to do it, or I'm not good enough, or shooting yourself in the foot every time you have an opportunity because you're like, well, I did really bad that one time. I'm never going to do it again. And so it's – but also being humble enough to go, what did I learn? Where am I actually at?
Right.
You know, and then also one of the great things that I think is I imagine like talking to Kevin Costner, like talking to the people that you've associated through fitness or whatever throughout the industries – is you kind of learn about their horror stories. You learn where they came from, and you're like, oh, okay, you're relatable and real.
Yeah.
And it's not just, you weren't born this, you know, prodigy of, you yeah. know, what you did. It's, and maybe you have some natural talent, but it's not all there.
That you're exactly right. And, you know, listen, and all that, that the audition really did for me, and at the end of the day, was it let me know that I really didn't want to be an actor. I like the idea of it more. Just like the people that have come to me over the years that have said, because I've competed a lot of times now on stage, and we have to go through the same thing with judges. You get rejected. And so I've been rejected a lot over the years because you don't come in quite in the condition that you were hoping for or whatever. So it's a form of rejection, but the motivation to do the, you know, to do that next show was greater than the obstacle. Auditioning and wanting to be an actor, I really didn't want that. Just like most people come to me and they say, I want to compete. They really like the idea of it more than the actual reality of having to put in thousands of hours of work to get that done. So that's all that did for me, but you're right about that. And it sounds like, you know, with you, you're willing to tolerate that because that's something that you really, really want to do.
Yeah. And I just love, like, I love going, I love the feeling, I love storytelling, and I love being inspired by different people, right? Like, I get inspired by The Rock through fitness. I get inspired by Ewan McGregor with his acting, and Big Fish is one of my favorite movies of all time that I watch, and I get really emotional over it because, you know, like, the journey of life and all together. So I think the biggest thing that I you know, and it's kind of cliche, but at the end of my days, I want to say that I lived, you know, and not that I was unhappy or I was like, well, this is what I can do, so this is what I'm going to do. It's like, well, what do you want to do?
Exactly.
You know, and these kind of things. I and so, and I imagine, you know, like, it's kind of resonating with me because you're kind of talking to me when I was in that mindset of, you know, maybe I should have just had a little more faith that if I pushed through and I invested in getting, you know, a nutritionist, I invested in getting opposing coach that, you know, maybe I wouldn't do so well, but maybe I'd get sponsored. So I'd be able to move on to the next, you know, like having a little more faith in myself and kind of, because it's kind of like you talking so real kind of brings those insecurities to the surface. Yes. You know, you're like, oh, there it is. That's why I didn't do it. That's really why I didn't do it. That was my excuse that I didn't do that. But I was just scared that it wouldn't, you know, because of this, you know, and.
Yeah, so, but, yeah, you know, I tell you what I think is important, though, Lee. I think it's important that, because that experience that you're talking about is going to happen no matter what. You're going to have to go through that. And you're going to be asking yourself those questions along the way. And I just think that it's really important. And from my perspective, you're going down this pathway, whatever that may be. I think that it's really important to look back before you can move forward. I think that the difference is with some people is when they look back, they get stuck in the past and they can't pull themselves out of it, you know? And yet you got to look back because that tells you possibly things that you can do now that you're moving forward. So I think, and you know, it's easier said than done, for goodness sake, but I think that that's kind of the reality. I think it's important for people to know that there's a reality to the stuff that we're doing, whether it be acting or training. There's a lot of pitfalls along the way. And you're right. The guys like the Kevin Costners of the world, they're not one take, you know, I'll go in and just one take this thing and go. They have had to live through this thing just like everybody else has. It's good to know. It makes it a little more palatable. But I was still scared as hell when I got on camera after that stupid audition. You know? So you were on a program called This Life or This Little Life?
My Little Life.
My Little Life. That was a TLC?
Yes.
So what did you, were you, what character were you in that particular?
Well, with this one, this is kind of like, once again, we're going to a different industry. It's going into, it's a reality show.
Okay.
So it was a reality show. And the fun part about this is the goal of the show was to show the lives of little people that are young and in their youth, kind of up and coming, because a lot of the shows that have come out kind of revolve around like older people or families, but it this one was more around individuals. So basically they flew out and they wanted to cast my life, and they interviewed me and wanted to see where I was at in life and what I was doing with my life, and then kind of wrote you know, their goals and got the producers together. It was an intense experience. Like overall, I'm kind of, you know, that was like 4 years ago. So yeah, no.
Let me ask you this as a follow-up question, intense experience. Go ahead and elaborate a little bit. I'm going to ask you, did you have a camera, you know, on the side of your, following you around the whole time? And did you have lines, or was it more like, okay, this is what we're looking for, just make it your own? Or was it like, you know, here's your lines and then make it your own? How did that work out like that?
So, well, first of all, it was an intense experience because I learned a lot about television really quick because, you know, and I was very vulnerable, which I've always been an advocate for that, but they will use that, you know, to get what they want, because you're ultimately a selling point.
Yeah.
And as much as you want to, you know, feel careful, but I can get really deep into the psychology.
No, I want that. I like that kind of stuff, but don't hold back.
So like with it, what would happen is obviously they learned and they cast me in the show because they liked my personality or what I was doing. And they liked the narrative that they were able to construct, you know, from that, because that's what they're doing. And so they would come here, and one of the craziest parts, like I'll tell you, like one of the craziest. So in the show, I'm chasing a girl named Bailey. Like, she was my best friend at the time, and I brought her in and I liked her a lot, and I was trying to court her, and I was like, and I did a dumb thing, and I was like, oh, maybe she'll like me more if I get her involved with the show, you know? And but ultimately kind of, you know, backfired, because that's not what she wanted, and they played to that narrative because you have this contrast, which creates drama, which right. is what they want.
TV.
TV, correct. Yeah. Yeah. So I remember one time I'm sitting actually almost like, you know, 1 foot right over here, because this is where they would interview and they set up the cameras like right over here, you know, when you watch it, like it's all here. And they were filming, and what they would do is they would film a scene, like they would maybe, like, you and I are hanging out and we're talking about it, like, how are you and her doing? Like, I don't know. Like, and we're filming it. And then what they do is they take that back to the network and they interview you in real time. So you have to say, like, right now I'm talking to my friend Leo, you know, but it could have been 3 weeks ago, you know, but they have to make it look real for TV,
right?
Hence reality TV. And, you know, so they're sitting there, and I'm building up to this moment. Is they film a scene with Bailey and I, and I remember sitting here and I had interviewed, and they came back, and what will happen is after the interview, they'll come back and the network will come back with notes of like, okay, you said this in your interview, we want you to say this, and like a lot, like it'd be like 2-3 hours, like sitting here, like saying lines, you say it like this, no, now say it like this, now kind of say it like this. You know, and you're going through this ringer, and if it was acting, it's like, ooh, this is fun. But right. This is my personal life. This is how I'm being portrayed.
Right.
And like, I'm self-aware. I'm not stupid. Yeah. I knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
And so like, I'm sitting here being portrayed, and I'm like, I know what you're doing. You know, so I'm like, you know, I'm playing this power struggle because like, but don't you want to be famous? Don't you want to be on TV? And you know, and so you're like, it's like we talked about that Rock and the Hard Place earlier. And so the whole point is, I remember they said one line, and they said, okay, we want you to say, Bailey is the girl of my dreams. And I remember, I'm like, I would never say that. That's so stupid. That sounds so stupid. And I remember like getting in, like to get deep, I would get in arguments with the producers because I was like, no, I don't want to say that. And like, no, we have to say it. Well, we have to, we're on a time constraint. And I have like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 producers, and then a sound guy, and like, you know, like, all on me just going, do your job. And then we'd have to wait, and we'd be in an argument. And it's almost like, you know, when you're sitting at a table, when like at dinner at a restaurant, maybe you're in an argument and then the lady walks up to fill your water. And so you have to like pause and then she walks away. That's it, because the sound guy would hear like a train or a plane. We'd be in it and like, wait, hold on. Okay, cool. Okay. All right, go on. And so it was just so freaking toxic. And I was just, And then I never watched TV. I was like, everything's produced.
Yeah.
I get it now. I get this game.
Yeah.
Like, and so it was just a lot, man. I was just like,
you know, like, what I like about your story is that it gives the people that are listening and watching this interview this is what it's really like.
Yeah.
And you have to be willing to put up with, I mean, it is putting up with that. I mean, it is, you know, that you have to tolerate in order to get this thing shot. Nobody, I wouldn't know. I mean, I've been around the industry enough, but I still wouldn't have known. I've always wondered about reality shows, how real they really are. I mean, let's just be honest, you know, but there's so much that goes into making it look that way.
Yeah. And it's nuts. And it's crazy because it seasoned me a little bit though. I learned, I started learning, like I took everything and I'm learning what they're doing and what they're saying and how they're doing it. And then I was like, okay, what can I do with this knowledge? And so instead of making this, I didn't love it. Like I pulled through and, can I share one more thought?
Yeah.
Excerpt from it.
No, that's like all right. It. I love it. Yeah. I saw you get into acting mode. Like you drew me in. Seriously.
I'm glad. So I'm gonna change her name to kind of, you know, protect her because she was also on the show, but I don't want to like draw attention to her if she doesn't want that.
Right.
So
gotcha.
So her name's Sarah for now. Okay. Yeah,
okay.
So Sarah. So I don't know. I'm just thinking about other
people. Okay, I'm into Sarah. Okay, that's good. Okay, Sarah's a good name.
So we're filming in all the little, like, they filmed us in California. They flew us out to California. I had never had a per diem before, so I was like, oh, this is cool. You know, so,
you're making a whole bunch of money now, right?
Yeah, a ton. Like,
where are you from, by the way, before you tell the story? Where are they flying from?
From Utah.
Oh, Utah. Okay. All right.
From Provo, Utah.
Okay, carry on.
They flew us out to California and I was like, oh, this is really cool. I'm like, yeah, you know, and so we go out there and we're sitting at a dinner table because they had all of us meet. And it's the most produced thing, but they didn't want it to feel produced. They organically wanted all the cast members to meet because we were all, you know, from different places. Right.
Right.
So they flew us out and they put us up in this hotel and we're there and I remember like walking in and I was like, and I saw like one of the other producers talking to one of the other, and I was like, oh, I know he's a cast member, you know? Right. Yeah. And I was going to walk over like, and my producer goes, no, don't talk to him. We want to get that on camera. No. Like, I was like, this is the weirdest freaking thing I've ever done in my life.
Yeah. Now you got to remember how you were going to go up to begin with. Anyway, that's
right. Awesome. Like acting, like you never think reality show takes acting, but it does.
Oh, man.
And so I remember we're sitting at a table and Sarah, one of the girls on the show, is sitting there and I'm talking about my experience with Bailey with this other cast member and they're filming it and then they catch Sarah kind of getting emotional, like she's kind of crying and kind of, you know, pulling from the story that I'm sharing and relating, obviously.
Yeah.
So the producers, you know, catch wind of that. They get really excited and they look at her and they pull her saying like, hey, you know, what's going on? Because obviously, yeah, first and foremost, maybe 1 ounce sliver, they care about what she's feeling, but secondarily, yeah, maybe 2 ounces, we'll give them that, you know, and maybe secondarily, they want to know what she's feeling so they can, you know, feed that into her narrative because it's so authentic, right?
Yeah.
Like the more authentic you can be,
right,
the more they can, you know, derive from that. So they go up to her and they go, hey, what's going on? And she goes, can I have just 1 minute alone, like where I can feel and not have to like talk to you guys, you know? And it was like good cop, bad cop, because she's like, oh, okay. And she backs off. And this other producer swings around and goes, hey, Michelle. Hopefully we
Michael, can go ahead.
Hey, Sarah. Like, can we, I hope we can cut that. So they're like, hey, sir, what's going on? You know, and I literally like, and I shouldn't have done this, wasn't professional, but I blew up and I was like, hey, she told you she didn't want to talk. And you told her you were going to give her space. I get that all of us are puppets in this show where you get all our emotions, you know our lives, so you can push the trajectory and the narrative that you want. But for everything, please make this fun for everyone. Give her some space. They got so mad at me.
Really?
Oh yeah, because I was like almost quote unquote reprimanded because they pulled, Haley, can we talk to you over here?
No kidding.
They pulled me aside and they got really mad and they were like, hey, like don't, like you can't like do that. Or like I was like, what? Like she was feeling something and I stood up for her.
Yeah, I thought that was really authentic. I think that should be the clip. In the
right. Why not? And but obviously like they can't have a producer standing in shot.
Yeah, you know, right.
For that. So it was just this thing and I was like, I'm not mad that I did that and I'm not mad that I'm in, you know, in trouble. And I remember, you know, even and I can go on for hours, they filmed because obviously they wanted all to meet. I've never been interested in going to little people conferences. Mm-hmm. I've never because I don't feel it necessary to hang out with other little people right. like all the time because I have my own life and I have social skills to maintain. And not that there's anything wrong with that if
right.
you do,
right.
but it's just not my preference. And they filmed it in where this girl Sarah asked me to go, you know, to the LPA conference. And uh-huh. and I was like, I don't want to go though. I don't want to go. And they're like, no, but you have to go because that's part of the show. I'm like, yeah, but that's not authentic to me. Like that's you know, and they're like, no, but you have to say yes. And I was like, but I don't want to. And you know, like I'm a brat. I don't know, whatever you want to say, but they pushed it. And so I had to say yes. So when I got back and I had to call and talk to the produce, like the more executives about like why I wasn't like kind of like not having fun on that trip, I was like, well, I told you guys, I didn't want to go to the LPA thing. So why am I going to fake and be fake and pretend I wanted to be there? Like, ooh. Of course I can be grateful that I got to travel and grateful I got to experience that and make the most of it. But for my personality, that's not prevalent. And I feel like I represent a group of little people that maybe don't always want to associate with other yeah. little people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So on this this particular reality show, how many episodes and how many seasons did it go?
It only went one season.
Okay. How many episodes?
6 episodes.
Oh, okay. And it was on TLC?
Yes.
That's funny. Okay, so then my other question would be that. By the way, I'm glad that you told those stories. I love that. I mean, I think that really gives me some interesting perspective that I didn't have for sure. As far as you know, moving forward, would you prefer to be someone who acts on the big screen, or would you be someone who wants to do TV, or let's see, what's another platform? Maybe like a talk show host. What would be your if you had your druthers, what would it be?
All of them. No. but
yeah, you can't multitask. Okay.
I know, I'm trying. I would love to be in a Marvel film. I'd love to be on the big screen superhero, Marvel superhero. I'd love to be on the big screen. That ideally that's what I want.
So why would you want to be on the big screen? Now I want to know exactly why. Tell me the damn truth, Lee.
Okay. Okay, wow. Sound like a producer.
Yeah, that's right. I'm your producer. Tell right. me the truth.
Okay.
My goodness.
Okay. All right. Well, because like I've always wanted to like get up there and make a name for myself and be up there with the big leagues and because like I had the opportunity to go to like San Diego Comic-Con and I got to go to an industry party with my friend Josh Shipley, who was a Disney Imagineer for 21 years. And I met like Orlando Bloom was there. I didn't get to talk to him. I didn't even know he was there until I left.
Yeah.
But I found out he was there and I was meeting all these people and making all these connections. And I was like, and ultimately, like even like talking to you, for instance, we have a similar energy and I'm happy when I'm on set. I'm happy when I'm performing, when I'm not holding back or worried that if I'm being overbearing, if you will, because you can, you know, you can, I would imagine you relate with being overly energetic to some mm-hmm. people mm-hmm. because you're so animated and some people would think it's fake because you're so, you know, passionate and pushing, but you're just authentically passionate.
Right. So the big screen, that's where you want to be.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, I love it. I think you'd be great on, I think you'd be great on. Is there like a certain character that you'd like to play? Any good guy or bad guy and why?
Okay, well, mm-hmm. All right, so there is so you've heard of the Avengers, I assume.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
There is a Canadian superhero team called Alpha Flight. Now, the reason I bring that up is there is a little person. It's the only little person superhero that I've ever seen that already exists. Ultimately, I'd want to write my own character and do my own thing. And I have my own concepts for things. But ultimately, you have to get big and get, make a name for yourself before you can do that,
yeah,
you know, effectively. So I his name is Puck. And so he's a little person superhero. He's Canadian. And I would love to play him. Like, I, if I got a call and got in and did that, like, I'd be like, I did it.
Yeah.
Like, I did it. You know, and yeah, just because, and I'd be around all those people on set, and then you wouldn't know where it leads, and then you wouldn't know. You know, just
I know,
authentically being myself.
Yeah. One, this brings me back to one little moment that I had with Costner. I was now at this point going to his house down in LA, and I was training him at his house, you know.
Yeah.
And one day he goes, Kevin's just like really authentic, low key. He's pretty real, you know, Kevin is.
Awesome.
And he said, hey, you want to go watch a movie being shot? And it was with Jim Belushi. And again, it was with a dog. I forget the name of the dog's name. You know, too many years have gone by now. I'm forgetting shit, which it really irritates me, but it is what it is. So we went on set. And, but what was really cool about that is, like, I watched a clip being shot, you know. And that was interesting. And then they took a break because Kevin was there. So Belushi, Kevin, and myself went in Belushi's trailer. And, you know, for that moment right there, I was just like, now this is, for me, you know, being able to hang with these guys here, that was a pretty cool moment, you know? And I think that's what got me thinking that, I want to be an actor, you know? I want all this treatment. And, of course, I learned the reality of that, which we talked about. So let me ask you this, Lee. Now let's go back to your when's the last time you did a workout? This morning? Yesterday?
Yeah, about a week ago, if I'm honest.
Okay.
I'm all getting right. I'm like, okay, be real, you know, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. And so where do you go from here with your training and with your career now? We've had a nice little chat. I think we've gotten a feeling of who you are. But okay, when we hang up from this great talk that we had today, what is Lee gonna do? What's your next steps here?
Well, real talk. I have a little bit of debt that I gotta pay off. I gotta pay off that debt, grow my savings, mm-hmm. you know, get, you know, boost up, and then move, you know, ultimately move to LA.
Yeah.
I have some connections there with some opportunities, you know, that I want to capitalize on. So right now I've got to save that money, and, you know, because it's the not fun part, right? Like, I've got to dig down, get that stuff taken care of. It's not the fun part. Like, it's not very flashy, but it's just the real thing that I got to get done, dig down and get taken care of, and then go attack my dreams, get back and get down to, you know, 4% body fat again. No, I'm just kidding. But not, you know, and you know, get shredded again, because I love it. And just, I was kind of, you know, real talk. I've been kind of depressed and kind of in a darker place, and I'm kind of coming out of it. And, you know, you have ups and downs, and I'm kind of coming up again, and I'm getting animated and very goal focused. So you were really talking to me at this peak time where I'm really getting back at it and getting the opportunity to talk to you and get interviewed by you and have this thing just tells me even more that I'm doing the right things. I'm getting emotional. Like, I was like, I'm going to call my dad after. I'm like, Dad, I just got off this cool podcast again. What did you tell you? You know, and you know, I'm just so happy, like, in this moment presently. So I've got to dig down, move forward, get some debt paid off, you know, get some more work in, get my physique back to where I want it, you know?
Yep.
You know, and just get back at it.
And again, we talked at the top of the show, life is always going to test you, and you're responding to the test. And if I can share one thing with you, because young man, what I have on you now is not necessarily that I'm smarter than you, but I'm definitely older than you. And my dad used to tell me this stuff all the time. And I say, whatever. But I can tell you this, if you keep your eye, if you operate your life with passion, that's always going to play out, and I think a positive way, especially when you combine that, and I'm going to use a little athletic metaphor, keep your eye on the goal. Keep your eye on the ball. If you keep your eye on the ball long enough, Lee, guess what? It's just a matter of time. But you got to be willing to get knocked on your ass, you know, here and there. You're going to get thrown out of the pathway for just a moment, but you're going to get back. Well, you're saying what you're going to do, man. You're getting back into it. You're refocusing. Well, guess what? That's the pathway that we all go on, no matter if you're a Kevin Costner or somebody who's just starting out in the industry. That's the way it works, as far as I'm concerned. So let me ask you this before we leave. I really enjoyed talking to you, by the way. You really, I like your animation. I think you're really cool. Is there anything that you would like to promote other than yourself? I mean, feel free on this program. Is there anything that you'd like to promote to the audience that maybe you're that they could find you on the internet or anything like that?
So the main thing I want to put energy towards right now is I just shot a proof of concept for a film called Lumeria, and that's spelled L-U-M-E-R-I-A.
Lumeria.
So we got it in like in a Utah Film Festival, and we got it. We're getting, you know, like trying to get some traction for it. We'll have a showing for it. But any support people can show towards that project, because we want to turn that into a feature. Turn that into a feature in a bigger project would be amazing. Following me on Instagram would be amazing at Lee, L-E-E underscore Liston, L-I-S-T-O-N, would be phenomenal. I have a YouTube channel called Little Guy Learns, where I learn things on the spot, candidly, that I've never done before. Like my friend Devin Supertramp, who's a big YouTuber, taught me how to glide cam. And he taught me how to glide, and I had never done it. And I learned on camera from him, no fake or no pre-practice. Just I wanted to show people what it's like to go through a learning process. So that's what I would like to promote.
Beautiful. Well, we'll do that. And again, I'm really happy that you came on. I love learning about other people and their story, and you have a great one. And so I want to reach out and tell you continued success. You know, I told, I have an old saying, I did come up with these sayings, and one of the sayings I just came up with, and maybe I stole from somebody, I don't know, but I'm going to make it my own. I said, you know, potential is what we can become, but reality is a fickle bitch. And I guess what I mean by that is that, you know, don't be afraid to try to reach your potential, because most people don't, because they get afraid, because it's a way out for some people, you know, it's an easier way out. But listen, I think at the end of the day, because this is the way I felt, if you put everything that you've got into what you want to do, and even if it doesn't work out the way you wanted it, if you could say, I didn't leave anything, I left it all in the field. I didn't leave anything on the table, because you know something, you walk away from that saying, oh, look, I did what I could. There's no regrets, and here's how it ended up. Because you don't know. But that shouldn't be the reason why you don't try. That makes sense?
Right.
Okay, that's the old man giving maybe you some, hopefully, a life lesson, although I don't think I have to. You got it, man. You got the energy. And I said, just keep moving forward, huh?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This has been such a treat, and I'm going to be riding off this energy for the rest of the day. And
beautiful.
Thank you so much for having me.
Right on, Lee. You take care. We'll talk again, okay?
I would love that.
All right. See ya.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Serious Growth Podcast. For more episodes like the one you just listened to, subscribe to us on your mobile podcast app and leave us a review. If you'd like to reach out, you can find us online at seriousgrowth.com. Until next time, train smart and train hard.